just good music today, man. And hey, I want to say thank you to everybody that joined us this week as we prayed. We got to gather on Facebook, and it's online too. So if you don't have Facebook, I know not everybody has that. And so right after we were done with the videos, when we did it at 5 o'clock, we put them straight onto our website, and you can find that underneath resources on our webpage, and it's just underneath the time to pray. That's something that we'll do more of, where we can pray. We prayed for our church. We prayed for our schools. We interviewed John Carruth, the superintendent with Vail School District, and prayed for the schools and for the teachers and the students and just not just at Vail, but in general, just everybody. And so that was good. We interviewed Sheena, and she's from our church worshiping with us online today. But we interviewed her through Zoom and just got to pray for those in healthcare. And I'm missing one. Oh, we prayed for our community and just areas of focus in our community. So we're grateful for you guys doing that. It was a good time. Anybody miss it? Anybody, you know, need help finding that or anything? But it was good, church. It was super good. Let's just continue to be a church that prays. Amen? All right. All amen for us all. All right? Hey, guys, for some time, we've been walking through the book, the letter of Ephesians, a book in the New Testament that God used a man named Paul, it's the Apostle Paul, to write. And Ephesians is broken into two different sections. The first three chapters, the first half of the book is focusing on who we are in Christ. What is our identity because of Jesus? And Paul tells us and reminds us that, hey, you were saved. If you've been saved by Jesus, if you've been saved, you've got a new identity. You are now chosen. You are adopted by God. You are redeemed. You are forgiven of your sins. You are accepted. You are heirs. You are gifted. And you are forever sealed. Church, we are forever children of God if we know Jesus. Man, that's just a good word. We are part of His family, and one day, man, we will spend eternity with Him. We never know what tomorrow looks like, do we? Right? And so it's good to know that we are forever His. And then in chapters 4 through 6, Paul teaches us and reminds us that because we're children of God, that should change who we are. Right? I know we don't like to be told. I mean, look at us right now in our culture. We do not like to be told what to do, do we? Right? But God is, that's what He's doing. He's saying, because you have been rescued and set free, because you belong to Jesus, we are to walk or live our lives in such a way that gives evidence that we belong to God. 2 weeks ago in chapter 5, we looked at 8 words in verse 1 that really helped us understand how we're to walk, not just on Sundays, not just while we're at school or at home, but in every area of our lives. It affects every area of our life. Because we have been rescued and set free, because we belong to Jesus, because we are adopted into the family of God, we are to walk and live in such a way that gives evidence of that. Chapter 5 says, be imitators of God. And we know that word be means to be or keep on becoming imitators of God. Church, we have a lot of standards set out in front of us, don't we? Like the world just says, hey, this is who you should be. But He's our aim. God is our aim. His life is the one that we're wanting to reflect and live out His characteristics. And then that was in verse 1. And over the next 20 verses, Paul tells us, okay, here's how you should walk. Here's how you should live based on being imitators of God. He says that we are to walk in love, right? To love like Jesus loved. To love the Lord our God with all we are and to love others. And we looked at that last week. This week we look at that we are to walk in light. And next week is this, to walk in wisdom. And so if you would grab your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5, if you've got it on your phone, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 14. The verses leading up to this is this, as fully loved children of God, we're to walk in love. We're to love like Jesus loved, to love with a selfless, unconditional, intentional love, just as Jesus loved us. And today we're going to focus on how do we walk in the light. So would you guys join me by standing so we can honor God and His word? And we're going to read Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. Just follow along as I read. God's word tells us this, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them, by those in darkness, in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes light or visible is light. For this reason it says, and he quotes from Isaiah, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Let's pray, church. God, we love you. We love worshiping you. We love singing. We love just being here and being gathered together. And God, we love to hear from you. So God, I pray, Lord, that you're glorified today with my words, but also our hearts and our ears. God, as we study this passage today, we're going to need ears to hear. And God, we're going to need your help as we submit to you. So God, be in charge. Guide us today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. As followers of Jesus, as beloved children, the Bible says that we're to be and keep on becoming imitators of God. And I think we talked about this, but often we find ourselves imitating someone or something in the world. Young people, hear me. You guys are going to be in school, or you're going to see things online, or you're going to see people out that are saying, hey, this is the standard we're pursuing. This is who you need to be. Right? Are you with me, young people? Okay. Adults, we do the same thing. We imitate, right? We set other people or other things as our standard. But the Bible's very clear here today, and he's going to tell us we're no longer to walk as the world walks. We're no longer to pursue what the world wants us to pursue. And so as we pursue walking with God and imitating him, young people, that's our goal, is to imitate God. Amen? Are you with me? Man, and parents and adults, let's do a good job of living that out so our young people can see that. Man, they need good models, don't they? Right? Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Let them see us imitate Christ. Our lives need to reflect Jesus and how he lives and how he loves. Today, we talked about imitating God, reflecting or living out his love. But today, we're going to focus on imitating God and also following Jesus in the area of walking in light. And here's a statement. If you look at this text, I read this text a few times. Part of how I study is I'll read the text, well, I'll pray, and then I'll read the text, and I'll read it in a few different translations. And every time I read it, it was like, oh boy, right? This is just a challenging text. It's just the way that it's written, the structure that it's written in. And so we're going to approach it a little bit different today, because normally we'll walk verse by verse or word by word right through it, but we're going to approach it a little bit different. But here's our guiding thought for us today in your notes. If you're online, you can print those off. We already talked about that, but for you guys, it's on the back of your bulletins. Here's our guiding thought today. Though we live in a dark world, we're not defined by darkness. Followers of Jesus, Christians, right? We are defined by the light. We live in a dark world, but we're not defined by darkness. We are defined by the light. You and I live in a world full of darkness. There is darkness all around you. Turn on the TV for 30 seconds, right? I don't think there's anybody, even if they don't know Christ, I don't think there's anybody that would say that there's no darkness in the world. It's all around us. Right? You can't get away from it, or you can't stop hearing about it, but we are not to be defined or to reflect that darkness. We're to be defined. We're to reflect the light that we've experienced in and through Jesus. And so today, we're going to look at a couple different things. We're going to look at darkness, because if there's light, there's a reason for that light, because there's darkness. So we're going to look at darkness and what that looks like. And we're going to look at light and how do we live that out. And so, again, as I said before, normally we would walk verse by verse, but what we're going to do first is we're going to look at just different verses out of this text and also supporting text to help us understand darkness. Paul's already addressed darkness once before in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 through 19. You can turn there real quick. It'll be up on the screen as well, but here's how Paul describes darkness. People that don't know Christ, they are darkened in their understanding. They're excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. So what he's doing right there is he's describing those that don't know Christ, so therefore are walking in darkness. He's describing what it looks like to walk in darkness and what our lives look like. And then when we come to our text today, Paul does that again. He describes the condition of the world and those that walk in darkness. And so he lists out several phrases that will help us understand what this darkness looked like. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at a few of them. Have your Bibles open, verse chapter 6. Doesn't even make sense. Verse 6, Paul tells us, hey, don't be deceived by sons of disobedience. So when Paul says sons of disobedience, he's describing those that walk in darkness. And here's what he's saying. If you are sons of disobedience, you don't know Christ, and you are living in rebellion to God. You're disobeying God. That's people that are walking in darkness. That's a sign of darkness. If you have a person that is habitually living in disobedience and rebellion against God, they are walking in darkness. Verse 11 says this, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. He again describes a life led by darkness. Paul is saying that those who are led by darkness, those that are walking in darkness, here's what the Bible says, they're unfruitful. Right? There's no eternal or spiritual value in how they live. As people, we live for the right here and right now because we don't have that eternal perspective. The things that people in darkness, the things they pursue, the lives they live might seem to have worldly value, but in reality they are unfruitful. There's no eternal or spiritual fruit in their lives. And then in verse 14, Paul quotes from Isaiah, and he says this statement in verse 14. He says, arise from the dead. He's again referring to those that are walking in darkness, the dead, right? He's describing those that are spiritually dead and therefore separated from God. And so Paul, we're going to recap. Paul describes darkness in chapter 4 as those who are darkened in their understanding. They're excluded from the life of God. They have hardened hearts. They've given themselves over to all kinds of impurity and greed. And here in our text, he says this. He says they're disobedient and rebellious against God. They live unfruitful lives, basically saying they're wasting their lives spiritually and eternally. And he says that they're spiritually dead and separated from God. And so here's the reality. Darkness exists. Paul writes this in Ephesians, right? He's writing to the church of Ephesus. Darkness existed then. Sometimes we think darkness is a new thing, right? Right? We're just like, man, what happened to our world? Darkness has always existed. And it's always been the same because we don't define darkness. God does. He defines the light. Darkness doesn't stop being darkness with the changes of time. Are you with me, church? It almost seems like we try to redefine and reinvent what is good and what's wrong. And in our world today, man, there is this darkness. Because the popular opinion changes doesn't mean what is dark changes. Does that make sense, church? But the good news is this. Jesus came to bring light, right? Listen to what Jesus says. I love this about Jesus, right? He knew the world was dark. He knew we were dark. He knew people were living and walking in darkness. And he says this in John chapter 4 or John chapter 12. He says, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Man, as I was studying this and I got to that verse, I almost feel like we could just stop there and just let that sink in for the rest of the day and just kind of ponder what that means. Jesus came into darkness. He came from light and he came into darkness to rescue us from that darkness, right? He came to rescue us from our darkened understanding, from being excluded from the life of God, from living in purity and in greed. He came to rescue you and me from living in rebellion and disobedience to God. Church, that's love. Like as we are rebelling against God, he came to rescue us. And he rescues us from living fruitless lives and being spiritually dead. But I like this. It says, not that just he brought the light, but that he is the light. Without Jesus, there's no light. Period. Guys, darkness doesn't have to be the rest of the story. Anybody know Paul Harvey? Right? And now for the rest of the story? Okay. You young people, man, you need to get that, man. But darkness doesn't need to be the rest of our story because of Jesus. And so now that we have seen what walking in darkness looks like, we've seen those descriptions and those characteristics, Paul begins to describe for us in this passage what light looks like and what that means for us. But before we dive into what light looks like, we need to look at verse 8 because Paul lays out something very important for us. He says this in verse 8. He says, for you, put your name there. You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the world, walking as children of light. Remember who Paul is talking to here. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to the church, right? He's talking to followers of Jesus, those that he has saved from their sins, and they're part of the God's family. So he's talking to us. Sometimes we're like, man, no, I'm here. Like, I don't have darkness in my life, right? But also notice this. He doesn't say you walked in darkness, which is true. He doesn't say you did dark things, which is also true. He actually gets to the heart of it, church. He says this, before Jesus, you were darkness. That's kind of tough to swallow sometimes, right? Because we look at darkness in our world and we're like, I want to have nothing to do with that. God's word says that you were darkness, right? That is our identity without Jesus. Sometimes we like to live in a culture where there's like light and darkness and a bunch of in between. There's two kingdoms, church, right? We've got Jesus, which is light, and you've got the prince of darkness, which is Satan, right? We don't have a prince or a king of gray, or in the middle. Are you with me, church? There's two kingdoms, and we're walking in one of them. Our identity before Jesus was darkness, and it makes sense, because here's the reality. Without Jesus, we've been studying this for a long time. We're spiritually dead. We're separated from God. We're slaves to our sin. And so when it comes to light and darkness, the Bible says without Jesus, you were darkness. That was your last name, right? That's the family you belong to. Here's what that means for us. We were disobedient and rebelling against God. It means that our lives were fruitless. We were pursuing and producing things of no eternal or spiritual value. And it also means we were spiritually dead and separated from God. We were darkness without Jesus. But then Jesus saved us, church, right? And he adopted us into his family. And the Bible says, but now, you were this, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And so in your notes, we've said it this way. We were all once darkness. That kind of helps us walk in humility a little bit, right? We were all once darkness, but through Jesus, not through you, not through me, not through our actions, but through Jesus, we are now light in the Lord. Church, we have a new identity, and we're going to talk about that more in a little bit. But here's the thing, as children of light, as followers of Jesus, we need to look at what does it look like to walk in the light? What does that life look like? If you're walking in the light, what does that life look like? Well, verse 9 describes it really well for us. Verse 8 says, hey, as children, right, as followers of Christ, walk as children of light. And then verse 9 says this, for the fruit of the light. So this is fruit of those that walk in the light. It's also the fruit of Jesus. This is what comes out of Jesus. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And so we know what darkness looks like. Here's what it looks like to walk in the light. These three things will be evident in our life when we walk in the light. The first is this, there'll be goodness in our life. Church, this is a life that is kind. It's a life that is good, right? In God's eyes, it's a life that makes a difference and benefits others. All of those definitions come underneath that word of goodness. So goodness should be in our life. The second thing Paul says is that a life that is walking in light consists of righteousness. Church, this is a life that lives out a righteous or godly behavior. I think we need to hear this. Sometimes we like to justify our sin, right? Or we act righteous in one group and not in another. Are you with me, church? Man, it's a life full of righteousness and godly behavior. Here's what it is. It's a life that is pleasing and honoring to God. A life that's full of purity and obedience to God. Back when I was in high school, there was the bracelets and the t-shirts that came out that said WWJD, right? What would Jesus do? Now, it kind of got messed up because it became popular and everybody was wearing it and it lost its significance, right? But that's the reality. What would Jesus do? And what does that mean? Walk in righteousness, right? That's what he would do. Then Paul says that it consists of truth. If you walk in the light, your life is full of truth. Church, it's full of integrity. Here's what that means. Man, with truth in our life, man, it means we speak truth. It means we think things that are true. But it also means that we live out truth, whether we're around people at church, whether we're around people in the locker room, or whether we're around ourselves at home, just by ourselves, right? So goodness, righteousness, and truth, that's the fruit. That's what comes out of our life when we walk in the light. The question is do we see the difference? And it's an important question because we walk in a world where there's a lot of people that don't. We should see that difference. Those who walk in darkness, they walk in disobedience against God. That's habitually what they do. There's no fruit, and they're spiritually dead. Those who walk with Christ, those who walk in the light, their lives are full of goodness, right? The lives that benefit others, they live out righteousness. Their goal is to have God-honoring behaviors and steps, and they're full of truth and integrity. Guys, we got to see the difference so that we can know what is light and what's dark. Church, in the midst of a dark world, we're not to live out darkness. Can you guys hear that today? I mean, we're not to live that out. You know why? Because that's not who you are anymore. We were that, and it makes sense to walk in that. Sometimes we as Christians, we look at people that don't know Christ, and we expect them to live the way that we live. The Bible says they're in darkness. They can't live that way. Right, but we have a new identity. We're no longer who we used to be. We're to live lives that are walking in the light with the Lord. And so let's go back to verse 8 real quick. I want us to point out something as we move on in our notes. It says this. It says, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in your own works or in your own actions. No, it says in the Lord, walk as children of the Lord. Who we used to be without Christ was darkness. That's what we earned. That was our identity. It's not just what we did. That is who we were without Christ. But because of Jesus, not because of us, because of Jesus, we're now children of light. And so I want us to see two realities when it comes to light. If you've been saved by Jesus, hear this out this morning. If you've not been saved by Jesus, this is what God wants for you. But verse 8 lays out that there has been a change, right? He said, you were this, but now you are this. There's a change. You are now light in the Lord. So here's the first note. Because of Jesus, your reality is you can say this, I have a new identity. I have a new identity because the light changes who I am. The light changes who I am. We were formerly darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Church, that verse is big. It's not just talking about a change of behavior. It's not just talking about a change in our surrounding or environment. It is talking about a change in who you are. You're no longer in this kingdom. You're in this kingdom now. You're no longer darkness. You are now to walk in light. That's who you are. You know, for the past few months, we've been talking about who we are if we know Jesus. And that's a really good reminder. And we see throughout of it, it's not because we've earned it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve who we are in Christ. Scripture is very clear. We deserve nothing. Well, actually, the Bible says for the wages of sin. Your actions, our sin, my actions, right? Because of that, we deserve separation from God and spiritual death. That's what we've earned. We've done a really good job at that. We've deserved a good paycheck of death. Isn't that a weird way to think about it? But that's the reality. But we talked about it, who we are in Christ, right? Who we are in Christ is because of who he is and what he accomplished. Because of Jesus, because he came and lived a perfect life and died for you and me on the cross and rose again. If you know Christ, you can now say, hey, you know what? I'm chosen. Man, I'm forgiven by God, right? I'm adopted, I'm redeemed, I'm saved, I'm part of the family of God because of Jesus, not anything that I've done. You know, all we need to do, the Bible tells us that we need to respond to him. We need to turn to him and follow him and call on him to save us. And when we're saved, we have a new identity. Not because of us, but because of him. And we see the same thing here in our text. Paul says we are light in the Lord. We aren't light because we deserved it. Right? We are not light. We're not walking in the light because of our good behavior. I know there's a lot of stories about when we get to heaven and St. Peter's going to be there and he's going to look, do our good outweigh our bad. I'm telling you, church, darkness doesn't get in. Can't be a part of the family of God. He can't associate with that. It's not because of our good behavior. It's not because of anything we've done. It's not your talents or my abilities, right? What has brought us into the light and made us light is Jesus and his grace and mercy. That's who you are. You're light. Because of Jesus, we have a new identity. It doesn't matter if we deserve it or not, because we belong to Jesus. We are no longer darkness. We are in the light. I know I keep talking about that, but we need to. That's a big deal, right? That's a big deal. And the light changes who you are. My dad used to say this all the time. If you is what you was, then you ain't. Right? If you are who you were before you knew Christ, you may check and see if you really know Christ, because he changes us. Jesus is at work within us. Let him work. See the change that happens as we walk with Jesus in his light. And that leads us to the second reality. We have a new identity, and now we can say this, I walk a new walk. I walk a new walk. I live a new life. Why? Because the light changes how I live. It changes who we are, and it changes how we live. Jesus, the light, gives us a new identity. He changes how we walk. and he changes how we live. These next four phrases, they're not in your notes. As you guys can see, your notes are pretty full today. I was told I've got room for nothing more, Jeff. They're just going to have to write it somewhere on there, right? But they're going to be on your screen, and I think they're worth writing down. When we walk in the light, when we're no longer walking in darkness, when we walk in the light with Jesus and in Jesus, there's evidence of that in our life. And I want us to see four ways that we can live out this light. Young people, do you guys, or old people too, do you remember the song, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine"? I'm the only one. Okay. Okay, we got some head shakes, all right? Okay. You guys still sing that, right? Okay. No? We're going to have to hang out. I'll teach you, right? We need to let our light shine. Here's how we do that. Here are four ways from this passage. Display light, or let your light shine, by not joining those in darkness. Let your light shine by not joining those in darkness. Verse 7 says this, "Therefore, Christians, do not be partakers with them." Verse 11 says, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness." Young people, I want you to hear me clearly. You're going to be tempted and pulled and drawn, and people are going to invite you into taking steps into darkness your entire life. And as followers of Jesus, adults, this is for us too. Man, it's so easy for us to get drawn in. But for us to display our light is by us not joining those in their darkness. Those that don't know Jesus, right? Those that are walking in sin and darkness. The Bible says don't be participators, right? Don't partake. Now, let me be very clear. This doesn't mean that we shouldn't be around them. How do we know that? Well, Jesus was around sinners all the time. But he didn't live as they lived. He didn't live out their darkness. You know what he did? He loved them. He invited them into a relationship with him. And he shined his light into their darkness. He exposed it and he called them to walk in the light with him. That's what Jesus did. So be with the lost. Be with people, right? Just don't do what they do so that we can share Jesus with them, right? Love them. Serve them well. But don't join in and participate in their darkness. Next is this, let your light shine, or display light by living out your identity. Living out your identity, be who you are. Live as a child of God. Live your life as one who's been saved. There should be evidence in our life that God rescued us from the pits of hell. Right? Third, display light by doing all that is good, right, and true. Because remember, Paul says the fruit is of light is goodness, righteousness, and truth. So doing all that is good and right and true. Now here's a problem. I don't know about you guys, but I still have a little thing called sin that pops up in my life every now and then, right? That keeps me from goodness, righteousness, and truth, period. Are you with me, guys? I think I'm probably not the only one that has sin in my life, okay? Right? But this is the life that God is calling us to pursue, right? That's our aim. Let it be seen in us that we want to pursue what is good, right, and true. And last is this, display light by pleasing the Lord. We have a lot of people that we want to live up to their standard or please them, right? There's even a characteristic, like we're people pleasers, right? You know, there's that characteristic. There's some people that say, hey, I'm a people pleaser. Well, Jesus doesn't want you to be a people pleaser. He wants you to be a Jesus pleaser, right? Verse 10, after Paul tells us what it looks like to walk in the light, he says this, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. The word trying, your translation may say this, but it's actually a Greek word that means to test or prove. Okay? And so to simplify it, here's what that statement means. Here's what that verse means. When we live a life that's in the light, it will honor and be pleasing to God. That's what that means. Author Tony Morita says it this way. He says, as a believer, as a Jesus follower, you may not please everyone. You may be mocked for following Jesus. Some may think you're living in the Stone Age because you believe the Bible. But we must keep coming back to this foundational question. What will please the Lord? Church, I'm just telling you, men in your marriage, ladies in your marriage, and as you work, as you go out into the world, as you raise your kids, young people, that's the question we need to ask. What will please the Lord? Not what will please my girlfriend or my boyfriend or my husband or my wife or my boss or whoever. What is pleasing to the Lord? Because guess what? Walking in the light pleases the Lord. We let our light shine, not by joining those in darkness, but by living out our identity, by pursuing and doing what is good and right and true, and our lives we live to please the Lord. Guys, we face a lot of standards in our life, but here's the reality. I need you to hear me on this one. We live for an audience of one. God. He's the one we are to aim to please and live for. Him alone. Are you with me, church? That's it. That's it. It's the light. When we think about the light of Jesus, church, it's the light of Jesus that allows us to see him. It's the light of Jesus that allows us to follow him and know him. It is his light that shines so that we know how to walk and where to walk. We know what it's like to walk in darkness. You end up with a broken toe. Amen? Right? You just, come on, Jason. You know what I'm talking about, right? You ever done that? Like, you just, man, when you can't see in the dark, right? His light shines so that we know how to walk and where to walk. But here's the other reality. This light also exposes sin and darkness. It exposes those things we stub our toes on. Verse 13 says this, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. Guys, Jesus and his light, it allows us to see sin in our life and dark in the world. There's no way we can follow the light if we can't know what's in darkness if we don't have the light. Does that make sense, right? Are you with me? It allows us to see sin in our life. It allows us to see darkness in the world. And we can even see, now hear me out. I know we live in a culture that's like, hey, don't tell me what to do, right? But I'm going to tell you something. Living in the light, it allows us to see sin in our brothers and sisters in Christ and come alongside them in love and grace and mercy, with reconciliation in mind, and help them walk in the light. I don't know, wherever we got this idea, somewhere we got this idea that nobody can speak into our lives. Well, I'll tell you what, the Word of God tells us we're supposed to speak into other people's lives with grace and mercy and love. Are you with me, church? It also says get the log out of your eyes before you get the splinter out of someone else's, so we get some heart work to do before we go and address somebody else. Right? But the light, it allows us to see wrong and injustice in the world. Right? Light has been shown in areas of our culture recently, right? We're to stand against that. And I love this next verse. Paul quotes from Isaiah, and he says this, for this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Church, the light, Jesus, transforms. I believe what Jesus is saying right here, or what Paul is quoting right here, is an invitation to know Jesus. Right? He's talking to those that are dead, spiritually dead. He said, awake, right? Rise up, see the light, know Jesus. Turn to Jesus, and when you do, you will no longer be spiritually dead and dark, and Christ will shine his light on you. Man, if you're online or if you're in here in person, do you know Jesus? Or do you only know darkness? Because here's the reality. Jesus is the only one that can bring us from darkness to light. We pursue a lot of things in our world, but Jesus is the only one that can take us out of darkness and bring us into the light. It is him that makes us new. It's him that changes how we walk. It's him that leads us to live a life that is with God and pleasing to God. My question today is, do you know Jesus? I'm not asking if you're religious, because we already figured out you can't earn it. Do you know Jesus? Is there darkness that just runs your world? We live in a dark world, and there's darkness in our lives until we know Jesus. He is the one true light that can penetrate any darkness. That's a good word this morning, isn't it? I think so. Do you know Jesus? Church, as we close today, I think it's always helpful to talk application. This is a text that can be difficult maybe to understand. Can be difficult to apply to our lives. And so I want to lay out four characteristics, four things that we should see in our lives as we walk in the light. They're on your notes. I hope they help you greatly today. But here's the thing, church. When we walk with the Lord, when we walk in the light, these things should be evident in our life. Here's the first one. If we're walking in the light, we can say, I am willing to be completely honest with God. Is that true of you today? This is a tough question. As I was studying this, man, this just question, just like for me, am I willing to be completely honest with God? We're really good at wearing masks. We're really good at presenting ourselves to those around us in the way that we want to be seen. Here's the good news, because it's hard to be honest. It is. It's just hard to be honest. It's hard to let people, you know, to share things about you that you don't want them to know. But this will make it easier for you. I'm going to tell you a secret. God already knows. He knows. Whatever it is, whatever darkness or sin is in your life, He knows. He knows the hurt. He knows the doubt. He knows the questions. He knows the suffering. He knows the sin. Church, He knows. He knows it all. He sees it. We don't have to hide it. And guess what? He still loves us. I think that's the fear sometimes. Like, we don't want to share because we want people to still love us and accept us, right? He already knows. Ask yourself, am I willing to be honest with God? Because if you're not, you're probably not walking in the light. So then that takes us to the next question. Are you able to say, I am willing to accept God's complete honesty with me? Tough to hear truth in our life, isn't it? If we know there's something in our life that doesn't need to be there, it's hard to hear that. When God and His light, it exposes things in our life. It just does. It exposes things that are good and it exposes things that shouldn't be there. Are we willing to accept what He tells us? Because here's the reality. He's always right and He's always true and He's always perfect. But you need to hear this too. He knows everything about you and He still loves you. And He wants what is absolutely best for you. So when you open up the Word of God and it says something about your behaviors and your lives, are you willing to accept that? Because if you're not, you're probably not walking in the light. When a brother or sister in Christ comes up to you and says, hey, there's this area in your life I want to talk to you about. Are you willing to accept that? Because if you are, it means you're probably walking in the light. Third is this. When we walk in the light, we can say, I am willing to do whatever it takes to be right with God. Is that true of you? Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Because to walk in the light is to live out righteousness. And so is there something in your life that God is saying, hey, I love you. This isn't good for you. You need to stop. Or is God saying to you, hey, I love you, and I need you to do this? Or is He saying to you, hey, I love you, and I want what's best for you, and I need you to change here? Church, we need to be willing to listen and to be honest and receive that honesty from God and do whatever it takes to be right with God. Because when God exposes things in our life, Satan's going to jump in and try to shove that darkness in. Will we do whatever it takes to be right with God? I want you to hear this. If God is asking you to make a change in your life or to stop something or do something, He's not like the rest of the world. He won't abandon you. He'll be with you each and every step of the way. And last is this. When we think about life, we think about exposure, right? We think about awareness. Am I aware of the things that influence my life? My wife and I, she's in Kids Life today. And I'm just grateful. If you see a Kids Life worker, tell them thank you. We were talking about the sermon. We were just talking about things that have influenced us for good and for bad. We need to know what influences us. We need to know what causes us to do right. Like if there's someone speaking into our life, to have a brother in Christ, maybe like Caleb, just say, hey man, you influence me to do good. Does that make sense? But there's people that don't. There's people that influence you to be bad. Young people, hear me out. All young people, I need your eyes. Up here. There are people in this world, there are things in this world that will influence you to walk away from God. Do you hear me? You need to be aware of that. You need to be able to know who is pointing you to Christ and who's pointing you away from Christ. Church, this is a lot of stuff in this passage. Like, it's just heavy. It's super heavy, but it's so good. Because God says, I'm asking you to walk this way because I love you and what's right and it's what's good for you. But here it is in a nutshell. Because of Jesus, when He saves us, you are no longer darkness. But you are now light in the Lord. That's a good word. And so let us walk in that light. Amen. He's going to walk with you each step of the way. Guys, I just want to have you guys, Derek's still playing. I want to have you guys close your eyes for a couple reasons. One, so you can just focus on you and God. What is God telling you today? What is God speaking into your life? Because when God's word opens up, it speaks. It's powerful. What is He saying to you? Maybe He's saying, hey, child, I need you to be honest with me. Or maybe He's saying this, I need you to be willing to accept my honesty with you. Maybe He's saying this, hey, you're hearing me, you're coming and you're being honest, but you're not making changes. So He said, hey, I'm here with you. I'm gonna make this possible through you. I can help you. I got people around you that can help you. I'm going to be there each step of the way, but I need you to do whatever it takes to walk with me. I need you to do whatever it takes to be right with me. And then, church, ask God to give you the eyes to see, to shine the light on the things that influence us. Is it music? Is it shows? Is it a person? Are they influencing you for the Lord or for darkness? I'm going to speak to those now that don't know Jesus. Church, we don't know what tomorrow holds. It's a pastor that I didn't know very well, but I knew. Went to the seminary together, was planting a church in Texas, and because he was living out the light of goodness, pulls over on the side of the road to help someone. Lord took him home. He passed away. Your tomorrow's not guaranteed. Do you know Jesus? I'm not asking if you're religious. I'm not asking if you come to church or read your Bible. I'm asking you, do you know Jesus? Has Jesus saved you? So that when you pass away, you know where you're going. There's no doubt in your mind. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I need to know Jesus. I want to talk about Jesus. I want Jesus to rescue me from the pits of hell. I want Him to rescue me from my sins. I want Him to give me a new identity, to no longer be darkness, but to be in the light. If that's you today, if you're online, let us know. Fill out that connection card. Send me a message. Let us know. If you're here today, slip your hand up and say, you know what, I've been waiting long enough. There's darkness in my life. I need Jesus to rescue me from that. I need Jesus to save me from my sins. I need Jesus to be the Lord of my life. If that's you today, just slip your hand up. You can look at me. I won't call you out. We'll talk right after church. If that's you today, let me know. Father, we love you. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for changing our identity when we know Christ. Thank you that you're light and you're what is good and right and true. Help us walk in that, God. Father, change us. Help us be able to identify when we're walking in the light. We can see what is light and darkness. We can see what is good and what's not. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, today that today would be a day that just radically changes us to be able to identify things in our life that are not right. And be able to say, you know what, it's going to be hard. It's going to be really difficult. I don't know if I can make it, but I'm going to do what's right. God, expose sin and darkness in us, God, so that we can be right with you. There's someone here today that does not know Jesus, that still lives in darkness, that's their identity, God. We pray, Lord, today that they would be saved from that. We ask all this in Jesus' name.